We are back on Dateline Washington. This is the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. Time now for our Thursday visit with John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. John, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be back here.
Well, let's start with the story that I know you were following very closely this week, and that was the battle, at least briefly, between the Obama administration and the American Legion over the Obama administration's plan, at least tentatively, to have private insurance companies cover the cost of treatment for wounded American veterans, which could then drive up the premiums for those veterans and their families. In the end, the vets won, but what do you make of the fact that the debate happened at all?
Well, the fact that this proves that the Obama administration rivals that of Bill Clinton in terms of being disorganized and taking on needless aggravation. The issue emerged Monday when the president met with leaders of 10 veterans organizations. The national commander of the American Legion emerged very angry and said the president wanted the unprecedented use of third-party payers to reimburse the Department of Veterans Affairs for injuries that veterans get while in the service of their country. That's never happened before, and as several members of Congress, including Steve Boyer of Indiana, the ranking Republican on the House Veterans Affairs Committee, pointed out, it's an insult to people who have served their country that they're indirectly going to be charged for their own health care. On Tuesday of last week, this came up at the White House. Robert Gibbs, the president's spokesman, said it wasn't on the table, it was only discussed. And on Wednesday evening, we received a very terse message from the White House. The issue of third-party payers for veterans' health care is off the table. This was something the president didn't have to get into. Former Veterans Affairs Secretary Tony Principi told me that this has come up at the Office of Management and Budget for years, and we should not go there. Why he did so is beyond me, but it's very revealing about this administration.
John, let's move on to another fight that we knew was coming. This one probably much more necessary than the one you just talked about, and that's over the president's record-setting $3.6 trillion budget. You've talked to some Republican leaders in the House, and it sounds like their troops are lined up all on the one side again.
I spent a bit of time with Eric Cantor, the number two Republican in the House, and as House Republican whip, his chief head counter. He was one of those responsible for getting a unanimous vote among Republicans against the stimulus package, plus 11 more Democrats. And on this one, he feels very confident that there will be a unanimous vote once again, and there will be constructive alternatives, tax cuts, for example, for business, measures that will encourage first-time homebuyers and homebuyers in general. In other words, it's not just being doctors no, it's being doctors yes in terms of offering constructive alternatives to the administration. And while the president may well get his budget passed, it will not be at a major political price.
John, about 90 seconds left here. What do you make of the president's week? You mentioned the fight with the Legion. In terms of the AIG story, he said he wasn't responsible for what happened, but the buck still stops with him, if that can be true at the same time. And now, of course, he's headed off to California to make a little history.
Well, as my colleague Les Consolving at the White House pointed out, there were 17 questions offered to a press room of 84 reporters. All but five of them, I believe, dealt with AIG. And Mr. Gibbs, quite frankly, did not acquit himself well. This was not a good week overall for the president. And I have to say that while the country is cheering him on and gives him positive opinions, you have to say that after this week, a lot of the luster is wearing off, and this may well be known as the week that was.
John, we're 2 months into this administration. A lot of polls giving thumbs up or thumbs down to Obama. What about in the press room? What kind of grade do you give Robert Gibbs after 2 months?
C-minus and dropping. Many of my colleagues go worse than that. He only takes questions from people in the first two rows and then occasionally will jump around the room. In fairness, he did call on me this week. He takes a long time to answer questions. As I said, 17 questions to 84 reporters in the period of an hour and 10 minutes is not really exactly acceptable in the age of the sound bites. But one other factor. Barack Obama's captured the imagination of the world. There's more international correspondence than ever before at the White House. Yet they have to sit in the back of the room and stand, and Mr. Gibbs has only called on one so far for a question. he is not really reaching out to a constituency that wants to know more and likes Barack Obama.
John, that'll have to be the last word. As always, thanks for your time.
Watching the administration with bated breath and chronicling it dutifully, I'm John Gizzi on Capitol Hill.
John Gizzi is political editor at Human Events. That does it for this edition of Dateline Washington, a presentation of Radio America. Thanks to executive producer Jim Roberts. Remember to find us online, dateline.radioamerica.org. I'm Greg Corumbus. Please join me next time for Dateline Washington.